So Pat Abel was telling me a story about the first reading. He was telling his wife to listen to it because it was as he was saying it directly to her. And I was going to comment on this anyways, because I think Christian men, you know, isn't that the view? We don't want our wives to be spinsters and going out and gathering flax, but isn't that the view of womanhood that we value as Christian men? Not the view that the media puts out there as an example of womanhood. For we know that charm and beauty, as society defines it, are fleeting, but real beauty lasts. It's shown in the love of the Lord, and it grows over time. For when we look into our wives' eyes, don't we know we have found a great prize, a great talent, in more ways than one? We see what she has done in being our partner and helping us take care of our children, being someone we've entrusted our heart to, our partner in this journey in life through all its endeavors. And we know that her fear of the Lord is worthy of praise, and we know how it provides the foundation upon which our relationship is built. I say this also for all the young men and women in the assembly. As a father of a daughter and a husband, please emulate this version of womanhood and not the one sold by our culture. You know, and as we move through the end of the liturgical year and the beginning of Advent, it begins in 2 weeks. Today's readings continue to remind us of the unknown but certain date of the definitive coming of the Lord. But in these selected passages, the emphasis is on our work and diligence as we wait for the day of the Lord, which will come like a thief in the night, as Paul says. Like Advent, these readings prepare us for the time in the future when we'll meet our Lord face to face. But the coming of our Lord is not always viewed as a future event. It's a both-and kind of thing. For we prepare for the end times, you know, as Matthew alludes with the returning of the Master, but we also experience the returning of our Lord as a daily thing. We are told we meet Jesus in the stranger, in the widow, in the orphan, in the marginalized members of our society, in the faces of the men that we meet when we house the homeless, as we are doing now. And we are blessed to be able to share our talents with them. When reading this gospel, researching commentaries and reflecting upon it, I was reminded that while Jesus often built his parables from images and characters from rural life, you know, like the scenes from the vineyard from last month, he also used themes from business, and this is one of those. The four themes are stewardship, investment, risk, and return. The first theme, stewardship, revolves around how we manage the gifts that we've been given. In the gospel today, the gifts are talents, which, by the way, was a good deal of money. According to one commentary, it was not a kind of coin, but a measure of value worth about 100 pounds of silver. So this gift was non-trivial. I'm sure many of us would love to have 500 pounds of silver. That would be worth about $120,000 today. Many of you know that I work for wages at the university, the Darden School of Business specifically. So I watch students being educated on how to be good stewards in our public, private, and not-for-profit enterprises. Some of those students would be surprised if I told them they are being educated as stewards, but others would not. As a major business school, Darden, in addition to, you know, doing the normal business education, also hosts a lot of different events surrounding business topics. And one of them was held this past week. It was called the UVA Investors Conference, or UVIC for short, not the University of Victoria, which Chris is familiar with. But I attended this conference. So I spent a lot of time over the last day listening to people who were stewards of large amounts of talents, billions of dollars worth. The members of the audience were also made up of stewards of either their own money or other people's money. And the discussions were very appropriate to this week's gospel themes of stewardship, investment, risk, and return. The discussion surrounded where to put money so that it would provide the most return for varying levels of risk. Those stewards would very much understand this parable and would understand why the master would condemn the servant who brought him no return. So for those of you who may be wondering where I'm going with this, my wife certainly was when I read this to her. What we are doing in our lives regarding our spiritual stewardship, investment in spiritual growth, what risks are we willing to turn, and what do we expect as our return? What are we doing in our lives regarding our spiritual stewardship, investment in spiritual growth, what risks are we willing to take, and what do we expect in our return? This is the question of our lives, and our answer to it will decide whether or not we are called good and faithful servants on the last day. So like all investment plans, one has to start with what one wants to achieve. What's our reward? I'm going to assume something here. I think it's safe to say we are here today in this space because we want to grow closer to God. For St. Augustine says, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." So if we want God in our life, we must conform to his way of being. And since we know our God is a giving God, we have to learn how to give or continue to perfect ways to give to have God in our lives. So what are we to give? What are our investments? We can look at the talents as everything we receive from God. Because they come from God, they are meant to be gifts. And these gifts are not meant for ourselves. For if we cling to them, they will wither. We have to give these gifts away in order to keep them. If we needed an encouragement as to why we should do this, all we have to do is look at the last servant who didn't even try to share his gifts. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And throw this useless servant into the darkness outside will be wailing and grinding of teeth. So we know we need to invest. But what risks do we need to take? There are many students at Darden who would be considered go-getters. In general, we consider this a good thing. We love it when we see our children exhibit signs of being go-getters. But perhaps it would be better, as Father Robert Barron says, to become a go-giver. So I think the risk we need to take is this. We need to learn or continue to learn how to talk about and give away this gift of faith. If you're worried that your faith is not enough, remember the mustard seed. Our faith will grow in the measure we share it. We don't have to wait for it to grow stronger. The act of sharing our faith makes it grow stronger. All investors know that money won't grow if it's not put at risk. A safe strategy is self-defeating. It's never been easy to share one's faith. Early Christians were put to death. Our collective faith is built on the blood of the martyrs. Our culture today wants us to privatize our faith, to be safe about it. But our gospel today reminds us of what happens to the safe bet. The theme of the investing conference was growth through innovation. The underlying idea was that the U.S. is growing itself out of this latest recession through technological innovation. So, if your personal economy is stagnant, ask yourself this. What innovative ways can I use to grow out of it? For we must continue to grow our talents. That is, to find new and innovative ways to live our faith, for our very souls depend upon it. Amen.
Amen.